Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're still in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, last week we started verses 13 through 16. Remember, the book of Philippians is centered around the theme of the participation of Christians together, or known as fellowship. Chapters 1 and 2 are the doctrine of Christian fellowship, and chapters 3 and 4 are the details of how this doctrine is worked out and applied. In the first 16 verses of chapter 3, Paul is given a precaution concerning fellowship, that there are legalists involved and present within the believer's fellowship, to be cautious of them. And he says the leading principle is this, that no matter who comes to you and what they say, if you're wondering, how am I going to know if they're telling me the truth or there's some kind of a legalist that is trying to get me under some kind of law or rule or regulation? Or as we saw in Isaiah chapter 29 this morning, is that God is going to allow these people to come in and share false teaching. And so how am I going to know that I'm not coming under false teaching? I'm dependent upon the Spirit of God to reveal that to me. But Paul presents a principle here in the text. We are those that have no confidence in the flesh. Anybody that presents to you a teaching or concept or principle whereby you must do according to your human effort and put confidence in your human effort to be right with God, it is false. We cannot improve upon what Christ has done for us. We have already been accepted. We've already been received by the Father. It is not our performance. And Paul says, we are those who have no confidence in the flesh. And then he went on to talk about his own identification, that if anybody comes along and says, I have confidence in the flesh because of what I do, and you're not doing it, and I am, therefore, I'm more spiritual than you are. Paul says, if anybody has a right to have confidence in the flesh, I am more than anybody. And he lists his pedigree, his religious pedigree. You can't get any better than Paul's pedigree. But the transformation, verses 7 through 9 of Paul's life, the transformation was that when he came to know Christ, when Christ saved him, he considered all of the things in the human and the religion and all the confidence in the flesh, he considered garbage. Loss. That I might gain Christ. A believer's life is not judged by what we gain in the world, but what we lose. Because the world will present opportunities and occasions by which we can gain from the world. But in order for me to gain in Christ, I must reject that. I'm either going to gain through the activities of the world and lose out on the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, or I'm going to turn down what the world has to offer so that I can gain the knowledge of the excellency of Christ. One or the other. And whenever we're at that crossroads where we have to make decisions, am I going to gain in Christ? by obeying the Lord, then I'm going to lose as far as the world is concerned. If I say yes to the opportunity that the world gives, then I'm going to lose of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. In verses 10 through 12, we saw the motivation of Paul, that he was motivated to know the Lord and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings while being conformed to his death. Paul says, I want to get to know the Lord and everything about him. I want to experience everything about Christ, which includes his sufferings, which 1 Peter 2:21 tells us God, Christ left us an example that we should follow his steps. But then in verses 13 through 16, from the motivation of Paul, we get it now in greater detail, the direction of Paul. What compelled Paul to press forward? He says, brothers, I do not account myself to have taken hold, that is, of which Christ, I haven't arrived at which Christ has taken a hold of me. But one thing, the little term one thing in the Greek text is called in apposition, not opposition, but apposition, which means equivalent. To the phrase in verse 14, according to a goal I am pursuing. One thing and I am pursuing are both the same thing. It's the one thing. The one thing that he is doing is he is pursuing for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. But in verse 13, he says, but one thing. He now presents a comparison on the one hand and on the other hand, as it's literally translated for you. On the one hand, while forgetting the things behind, and on the other hand, while stretching out for the things before, according to a goal, he has a mark set. He has a goal in life. And he says, I am pursuing. That comparative phrase that we just read in verse 13 is a breakdown of what he means by he's pursuing. He's doing two things, both happening at the same time. While forgetting the things behind and while stretching forth for the things before. Both at the same time. We saw from Luke chapter 9 at verse 62 where someone came up to Jesus and said, I want to be your disciple, but let me first go say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, no one, after putting his hand upon the plow while looking toward the things behind, is fit or lined up with the kingdom of God. So he says, once you surrender your life to Christ, that's like putting your hands to the plow. And in those days when they had the horse or oxen pulled plow, you have a marker that you're aimed for. And you plow towards that marker. And as long as you are lined up with the marker, your plow, your burrow, your harrow is going to be straight. But if you start plowing while looking backward, you're not lined up with the mark and the marker. So you're unfit, that is, you're not lined up with, and you're going to be all over the field because you're looking behind. So Jesus in Luke 9:62 is basically saying, when I call you and you put your hands to the plow, leave everything behind. Don't look back. We're talking about friends, relatives, failures, successes. Everything's in the past. You can only do one thing. You get your hands on the plow and you plow towards that mark. And Paul says, when you pursue the Lord, you're stretching out for that mark and you're forgetting everything behind, both at the same time. They're participles. That means it's happening continuously. You're not just looking back and saying, well, I belong to the Lord now, and always talk about it, and always look at the past, always look at who's chasing you or what's chasing you, what's haunting you. Forget it. It's history. It's past. So one thing simultaneously, that is at the same time. Not looking back while looking ahead. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we saw that the writer of Hebrews says that we are to run the race that is constantly being set before us while looking to the author and finisher of the faith, Jesus. When a runner runs, he's taught to have his eyes on the finish line. That's the straightest line to run. Don't look to the right or to the left. Don't try to wander around on the track. Run a straight line and keep your eyes on the finish line. The runner that runs and he's waving to the crowd and, hey, mom, hey, how you doing? You know, is not going to finish well in the race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. But at the end of verse 14, he says, I am pursuing for the prize of the upward calling, that is the heavenly calling, of God in Christ Jesus. Every believer has a calling. And as we fulfill that calling, there is a prize. The word prize here in the Greek text denotes the awards and rewards that are given after you run a race in the Colosseum games. Another form of the word is the word for a referee or an umpire. So he says, I am pursuing for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody is pursuing a prize. Everybody. Well, I'm looking forward to being in heaven. That's fine, but as you live out your life, what is that prize that you're headed for? What is the purpose for your life to accomplish? Whatever it all is, it is the goal. It is the prize. And Paul says, I want the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 23 to 27, Paul explains some of this in detail, that he becomes all things to all people so that people will come to know Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of it with you. Do you not know that they which run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery of is temperate in all things. In other words, every person that is involved in the race is disciplined and self-controlled in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I have a little trophy just a few inches high that sits in on one of my bookcases of a summer league second place championship that our baseball team came in. Just to remind me, you know, it's all gone and that's it. That's the reminder. It's this little piece of wood with a little plaque on it that somebody engraved. Is that we do all of that. Got to win the league. Got to win the championship. Got to go to the playoffs. What for? So we get this little measly 4-inch statue so that I can put it on my bookcase so when I get older I can say, oh, I remember those days. It's a corruptible crown. It's a corruptible reward. It's a corruptible prize. Even things today, we got the Super Bowl coming up. And the only thing, the only people that benefit from it are the players who win or lose, and depending on the winner gets more money and the loser gets less money. But as soon as the season's over and it starts up again, you're starting at the beginning. You're doing the whole thing all over again. Well, what happened 5 years ago? Nobody can remember what happened 5 years ago. Who cares, right? It's this year, and it's now. My team's playing, you know. For what? Well, I retired from football. We won the Super Bowl back in 1912. And I got a little trophy on my bookcase that, yeah, and all of that was for what? It's a corruptible crown. Paul says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. How would you like your reward and your prize to last forever throughout eternity? Permanently. Therefore, so I run, not as with uncertainty. So I fight, not as one beating the air. He says, I'm not shadow boxing here. I know who my opponent is. I know what I have to do. If my opponent gets in the way, I'm going to punch him out. As simple as that. But I keep my body under. And bring it into subjection, lest that by any means that after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. I keep my body under. Literally, I beat it black and blue. I notice things. Like when you read this text and study it, you realize how easy we are on our flesh. Well, I really don't want to make it unhappy. You know. Paul says, I beat it black and blue and tell it to sit down. Be quiet. Oh, that's too harsh. You know? Usually when I notice that as we're sharing in fellowship together, especially one-on-one, somebody tells me, well, I'm really having this problem. Yeah, what's the problem? Well, I really don't. But then I, good grief. What are you supposed to do? Do it. Oh, that's too harsh. Paul says, I'm not taking it easy on how I treat my flesh. I tell it to sit down and be quiet. I tell it, stay out of the way. I tell it, no. Oh, that's a bad word. That is a bad fleshly word. No. We can't say no. So Paul says, I discipline myself. Because of the race that I'm running and for the purpose that I'm here, I have a goal, I have a prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize that I'm looking for, Paul says, is eternal. It's in the heavens. It's not here. I run the race here so that when it's all over and I stand before the judge, he pins on me the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15, Paul talks about the fact that who we are and what we become spiritually here in this life is what we will be throughout eternity. Many people don't know that. Not only is it here in 1 Corinthians 3, 11 to 15, it is also in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, 11, he says, the other foundations nobody can lay alongside of that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, who is Christ, if they build gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed through fire. That's not hell. And again, I always picture a car wash, you know. You're at the beginning of the car wash, instead of water coming down, it's fire. And you go right through the middle, and as you come out the other end, whatever is there is gold, silver, and precious stones, and all the wood, hay, and stubble have burned. And basically the little light says, okay, please step off, and here is who you are throughout eternity. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed through fire, and the fire shall test every man's work as to what kind it is. If any man's work abides, which he has built upon, he receives this reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. This is for the believer. Every one of us is going to suffer loss because we will pass through the fire, and that which is wood, hay, and stubble, that which is human, that which has nothing to do with the Spirit of Christ, it's all going to burn. And what is left is the reward. I'll put it in a conditional clause for you. I'll put it in a conditional clause. You don't have to believe me that the Bible says that. If it's true that I will be throughout eternity, according to the work that Christ has done in me, the transformation and the change and the growth, all these things that God's going to do in me through the hearing of His Word, if that change and transformation is what I'm going to be throughout eternity and everything else is going to burn, where should my priorities be? If you don't want to walk with the Lord, sometimes being exposed to the Scripture is a curse. Because you start noticing, okay, I'm doing this, and there's a little still voice somewhere that says, it's going to burn. Spending all your time, putting all your money, and it's going to burn. It's going to be gone someday. And all the time and all your efforts and all the things, it's all going to burn. Gone. Only, as the song says, only the things of Christ will last. That is my reward. If that's true, as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, seeing that everything is going to burn, what kind of people ought we to be? So as I ask myself right now in life, what is my goal? And what is the prize of that goal that I'm living for? Is it going to burn? Is it for nothing? How many minutes, how many hours, how many days and weeks and months and years we waste just doing our own thing? It's all going to burn. I have an eternity waiting for me. So I spend 70, 80, 90 years here on the earth. That's the only time that I have prepared time to prepare me through eternity. What kind of person ought I to be? What is my priority? What should be my goal? To pursue the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To attain that for which He has taken hold of me. To have God's will fulfilled in my life so that when I leave here and this physical body drops off and I stand before my Heavenly Father, that is who I'm going to be throughout eternity. No changes in heaven. We will all be the same in that we will all have spiritual bodies, but we will all be different, depending upon the changes and transformations and the growth processes and everything here. If that's true, many things we do in church and as church is a total waste of time. What has that got to do with preparing me throughout eternity? If I can't go to be with a fellowship of believers and leave even a little bit changed and transformed, a little bit ministered to, which is permanent for eternity, if I can't do that, then it's a waste of time. Watching the performances, participating in the programs, it's all going to burn. Except for what Christ does in me because of that or through that activity. And whatever Christ does and ministers to me today, it's not temporary, it is permanent. So what kind of person or people ought I to be? Or we be? In verses 15 and 16, and I think we'll take this next week because this is so very, very powerful. Listen to these two verses. Therefore, as many as are mature, we should be thinking this. This should be our frame of mind. Pressing toward the prize of the upward calling according to this goal that he has. What is your goal? What is the prize that you're looking for? As many as are mature, we should be thinking this, and if you are thinking anything differently, also this God will reveal to you. So if you read these verses and Paul says, this is my pursuit of the things of Christ, are they the same as yours? If not, God's going to reveal that difference to you. Nevertheless, as to what we arrive to, walk by the same rule and think the same thing. In other words, wherever you're at in this journey, as you're focused towards the goal, forgetting what's behind, stretching forwards towards that goal, towards that mark, with the desire, the end result of the prize, the reward of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Wherever you're at in that journey, wherever you're at right now, if you say, well, hey, I'm not there yet. Paul says, well, wherever you're at, walk in it. But he's also presenting the fact that he's presenting Christian maturity. If anybody disagrees with it, if anybody doesn't like it, if anybody says, well, that's him, not me, then God will reveal that there's a difference between Paul and us. Next week, I want to get into the differences that Paul presents. I want to stop and let God's word impress upon you that Paul isn't just some writer on the side. He presents himself as the standard and the rule. Not to take the place of Christ, but I've always been impressed over the years that Paul presents himself as living the normal Christian life. His ministry is different, But his walk with the Lord is the normal Christian life. And when he shares God's truth with others, it wasn't just to establish religious doctrine. It is to say, I am sharing the truth of what it's like to walk with Christ with you. Don't get hung up that I'm the Apostle Paul. That's my function in the body of Christ. But my relationship with the Lord is the normal Christian life. Normal. I think his apostleship is unique and special. I think his walk with the Lord is unique and special. But to say it's normal, like he says, check yourself against the rule, the norm, the standard of who a Christian is and what a Christian is and the motives, the intentions, the desires, the goals, what we want to achieve in this life. Does it line up with what Paul says about himself? And Paul says, if not, God will reveal it to you. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the ministry of your Spirit that guides and provides us, and we're so thankful that you have been faithful to us to raise up brothers who have gone before us, who walk the walk, and who walk the talk, to reveal to us their own personal relationship with Christ, and to share with us what it's like to be a follower of Christ. We pray that you would lay these things upon our hearts and help us to take inventory, reevaluate. What really am I here for? What is my life here to achieve? What is the goal? And what is the reward that I'm looking for? If I achieve my goal here, will the reward be a corruptible reward? Will it burn? Will it be for nothing? And I myself will be unchanged and untransformed? Help me by your Spirit. Help us by your Spirit to reevaluate the journey that we're on and cause within us to make our pursuit the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, according to that goal that we're lined up with, as we put our hands to the plow, continually looking forward to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and forgetting the things that are behind. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.